Is it Wednesday already?
Hey, everybody. I hope that you are happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. And some of you I know have to drift off to sleep. You've got things to do in the morning, or maybe it's just time for you to take a nap. I don't know what your daily schedule is like, but if you happen to, fall asleep and you're like, oh, what were they talking about? I missed the end of that conversation. Don't forget you can catch everything on iTunes because every single thing that we talk about is podcast within the hour after the show ends. Michael takes care of that. Our extraordinary producer is on top of it. So you can go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, leave a couple comments if you want. We'd love to hear from you. Also go to our show page for Facebook, Patty V Show, and the podcast is there, easily linked right there. Brandon C. Price in studio, one of our favorite guests. And we have two favorite guests in studio tonight. Brandon C. Price is the mastermind behind Vamp, the music, comedy, and drinking show every Friday and Saturday night. What?
Still perfect.
It's still perfect. I wasn't sure. Like, you made a face like, let's see if she can make it to the end of getting that right. You can go to vampchicago.com or download the app and be a member of the club and get all kinds of discounts and updates about what's going on.
Absolutely.
Is that how long are you running at MCL?
Our last show will probably close out 2017 at MCL.
Excellent.
But we are.
Oh, so we're competing New Year's Eve. Are you doing a New Year's Eve show?
I don't think we're going to do New Year's Eve. We're going to stick to our slot. We are going to do our big soiree we do every year, but it'll probably be like the 29th.
Okay.
I don't know because I have to make my room on my calendar for your event.
I'm going to be at the Filament Theater in Portage Park doing two New Year's Eve shows. One, a family event at 7:30. So it's an all-ages show. We'll get the kids involved, and we're going to make sure we celebrate New Year's Eve with them because they might have to go to bed. I don't know if they get to stay up till midnight, but we're going to celebrate Argentina's New Year's Eve because that's who's celebrating at 9 p.m. Chicago time. And we'll have some fun games for them, some activities, and a little bit of stand-up, some music with Little Egypt, Representative Robert Martwick's band. And that brings me to actually kind of how I met our next guest, Dr. Kathy Tynes, who is the assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern and the president-elect of the Illinois State Medical Society. We met at a function for the Gift Theater in Jefferson Park, not far from. I would use the Gift Theater, but it's too small. I wanted to have a little bit bigger space for all of us.
It is tiny, but that's part of the charm.
It is. It's like a 35-seat theater at the Gift. And the Filament was one I was telling you about before.
Yes, absolutely.
I referred you to them.
You have spoken quite highly.
Oh, I love the Filament. But you were at the event where they announced their entire schedule for the 2017-2018 season. And we got talking about all the work that you do, and we decided, hey, let's get together and talk about what's important health-wise for Wellness Wednesday. And I am actually, I left home tonight with my screen open trying to figure out my enrollment for my health insurance all the choices that I have to make. And it's daunting, but there are a lot of people who have questions and a lot of concerns when it comes to the Affordable Care Act, as some people call it call it Obamacare. They are one and the same. What should people know about the enrollment period? What kind of things have changed this year?
Well, first of all, I think, there's been a lot of press about Obamacare failing and it's going away. And certainly Congress and the administration have done everything they could do to try to kill it. But the rumors of Obamacare's demise have been greatly exaggerated. It's actually alive and thriving, and enrollment so far this year has outpaced last year's. Yes.
And that's with a diminished amount of advertising going on and
Absolutely.
Letting people know. Interesting.
How about Maine?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maine voted to expand Medicaid, didn't they?
On a referendum. And the governor, sorry you vetoed it five times. A referendum is one of my favorite new words. Doesn't that sound like a great idea?
By the way, we'll talk about this a little bit later. Maybe the doc wants to address this as well. But there are some Cook County board members who were like, well, if the soda tax didn't work, why don't we make recreational pot legal and raise money that way?
I mean, there's so much money in it.
I'm just saying.
Certainly makes sense fiscally.
Fiscally.
Absolutely.
So with Obamacare, the numbers have gone up. We are outpacing enrollment. And what does that mean? More people who were uninsured or perhaps are seeking alternative health care plans are going to the Affordable Care Act?
Yes, absolutely. So, in years past, I think people hung back and kind of waited to see what was going to happen with the market, or they didn't feel like they were sick enough that they needed to buy the health insurance. They'd rather pay the penalty. But now more and more, I think as they feel that this program is threatened, now they're enrolling because they want to get part and parcel and get into it. And that's what's making it thrive. The other thing that's really interesting is the fact that, the administration has said it's going to do away with the subsidies to the insurance companies, which means that the premiums go up. But when the premiums go up, so do the subsidies to the individuals. So it actually makes it cheaper for the individuals.
What?
Yeah, isn't that something?
That's weird.
I know. It's
Wait,
wonderful.
Do they not know? Do the bad guys not know?
I don't know if they...
I mean, if they do know, it's brilliant to go, that's it, we're not going to have subsidies. I mean, you would think that if they did know, they would tell Americans, we're actually helping you by doing this. But that it seemed more like it was done in order to punish the Affordable Care Act.
Right. It was an anti-Affordable Care Act measure, but it ends up shoring up in some ways the enrollment. So there are in some places... where lower income people in half of all the counties in the U.S. could get the basic bronze plan for free in 2018.
Just because the premiums have gone high because they've lost the subsidies.
So the insurance company gets a subsidy from the government, and so does the individual when they buy their health care. And by taking away the subsidy to the health insurer, those insurance companies actually jack up the premiums. And the subsidies are tied to the premiums. So the subsidies that the individual gets are tied to the premiums. So the premiums go up, the subsidies go up, and at some point they kind of meet in the middle and nullify each other out. It's wonderful.
What a weird
tipping
point. And
the taxpayer is not negatively affected because it's
other taxpayers.
It's just like skipping the step.
It's robbing Peter to pay Paul, I suppose. So there was one study that found that in 1,540 counties, a 40-year-old who's making $25,000 a year can get a basic bronze plan under the Affordable Care Act next year for zero monthly premiums.
Wow. All right. Well, you heard that. Go to the... Look at you.
I'm spending money at work. You know what I mean?
I know.
Yeah, well, like for comparable, like...
Oh, interesting.
So if you get it through your insurer, you probably wouldn't qualify. So you have to not already be covered.
And so, you have to already not have access to your employer's insurance company.
I mean, but that's just pretty. I mean, it's great that I don't get me wrong. I'm very blessed, but in that way. But that's amazing that it could literally be more affordable than even what I'm getting through work, which is, you know, I'm only paying what, 40-something%.
Well, and for many people, staying at a job because of their access to health insurance traps them in that job.
Oh, I couldn't. Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's part of the beauty, and that's what, you know, one of the designs of the Affordable Care Act was to allow people greater mobility between jobs so that they, you know, pre-existing conditions didn't prevent them from getting their health insurance. A couple of other things, you know, open enrollment began November 1st. It ends December 15th. So your window of opportunity is really, really quite short. And the budget, as you mentioned, the budget for, you know, publicizing the open enrollment has been curtailed quite a bit. So we have to get the word out, word of mouth, you know, tell people, get in there by December 15th.
And what's the website?
So you can go through the Illinois Marketplace, which is getcoveredillinois.gov.
Getcoveredillinois.gov.
And then there's also another web page where you can go that's a nationwide one that says localhelp.healthcare.gov. So that kind of gets you through the nitty-gritty of how to choose a health plan.
All right. So for those of you living outside the Chicagoland and Illinois listening areas, go to that website, which is Need Help.
Local Help. Localhelp.healthcare.gov.
All right. It's important information. Let's continue this conversation. And if anyone has questions, do you mind taking calls, Doc?
Oh, absolutely.
Calls, texts, either way. Join the conversation. It's your conversation. Don't hang back. 312-981-7200. You can call or text us at 312-981-7200. More in just a moment. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Brandon C. Price. You can catch him every Friday night, part of the spectacular music, comedy, and drinking show, Vamp. And you can go to vampchicago.com or download the Vamp app on your Play Store, your iTunes Store. It's such a great show. I'm trying to see if we can go on Saturday night. Yes, very much hoping we can go on.
Absolutely.
And I know you have new cast members, so let's talk about that after.
Oh, man,
you know.
There's so many things.
That's very exciting.
It's very exciting.
You have to go see this show, Doc. You would love Vamp.
We were just chatting about it.
Yes, this is so down your alley.
He says he's got some free tickets for me.
And
so.
She's played short form improv before. She's got some short form.
She ain't playing. Mm-hmm. She's a multi-talented individual, just saying.
Lots of fun. Lots of fun. Love it.
And we are, it's Wellness Wednesday, so we are talking about, right now, we're talking about the open enrollment for the Affordable Care Act. Dr. Kathy Tynes is the Assistant Professor of Medicine at Northwestern and the President-elect Illinois of the State Medical Society. And we've, you know, there's a lot of issues that have come up, you know, when it comes to open enrollment. People are confused. They're, you know, especially hearing all these arguments about whether or not we should get rid of it. You know, when President Trump was running, he said we're gonna get rid of Obamacare and we're gonna replace it with something beautiful. And I mean, we could pull up that audio if people.
No, I mean, that's the right adjective.
And
he
said he would do it right away. It's the first thing we're gonna do, and that has not happened. But several tries have been made, and part of it was sort of not, you know, you talk about transparency and also having, you know, patients knowing what's going on with their medical life. You know, whether it's, you know, a doctor that is no longer in their they have access to because
correct.
A provider
in their network
in their network, mm-hmm. And I think that they did not put this up for debate. They just kind of were trying to push these things through, and they didn't let it see the light of day and let it be examined. And that was a cause for concern for a lot of legislators, and I think rightfully so. In that anyway, despite the failure of being able to do something beautiful. Many people have benefited from the Affordable Care Act. A lot of people don't like it. It is what we have right now. I think that, you know, we've talked about this when the insurance company gets between a patient and the doctor. That's the thing that's so hard to sort of wrap our minds around. John Williams had a great conversation the other day about, like, what if we just, like, you know, like you, me, Michael, and Brandon, and Ez, and Rob Martier, we all pulled our money together. We'll say, you know, like every month, you know, we figure out what our balance is. If anyone gets sick, they use the money for that. And if it doesn't get used, it rolls over to the next month. And then if at the end of the year, nobody got sick and they didn't need it all, we all kind of get our money back and start all over again next year. But we can't do that.
Well, a lot of corporations do that.
Do they?
That's called self-insuring. So hospitals do it, especially large hospital systems do it. So they, you know, it gives them a lot more control and flexibility over, you know, how they spend the money and what kind of, and it allows them actually to take better care of their employees in some ways. But you have to have economy of scale. You can't do that if it's just you and, you know, six of your friends.
Well, because it is. I mean, people who are healthy, who don't get sick all year, you know.
Yeah, I'd only want healthy friends.
Exactly.
Like, Ted, you're really not taking care of yourself. But,
yes, go ahead.
Well, and that's where you get these corporate programs where they have a wellness checkup every year. And they don't necessarily force you to go see the doctor once a year, but they give you incentives. Mm-hmm. You have a lower premium. Go in, get your blood pressure checked, check your cholesterol, your blood sugar. You make sure there's no lumps or bumps that are growing out of control and things like that. So
if you got lumps or bumps growing out of control, please get that checked out for the love of everything that is good.
Absolutely. So so that's part of, you know, that self-insurance is also a desire to make sure that the people that they're insuring are as healthy as they possibly can be. So there are going to be incentives to get your flu shot. There are going to be incentives to go see the doctor once a year.
Yeah, because I remember when I was off my parents' insurance. So in my 20s, once I was out of grad school, I dropped out of Northwestern, and then I was like, oh, I don't have insurance now. And this was before you had, you know, we have now kids can stay on their parents' insurance till they're 26 years old.
26, yeah.
And so I remember looking at the numbers. I'm like, you know, whatever it was, even at 26, I was like, I can't spend $120 a month on this, or even, you know, we look at it and go, why? A doctor's visit costs me whatever, $200. Why would I spend $1,000 a year if I'm, and I was lucky, right? If anything had happened.
Right.
You know, I was very fortunate.
One car accident away, or one appendicitis away, and then the next thing you know, you're bankrupt.
I was so stupid.
I had no insurance for the last year and a half, and then I started this last job in April, working during the days as a carpenter. And in 14 weeks ago, I broke my hand in three places, and I just went back to work last week. I mean, and it, you know, it's not been smooth sailing, but I think it every day. It is so much. It underlined the fact to me that you really just don't think about things until they happen to you.
Oh,
you know?
No doubt.
I mean, you can be as altruistic and open-minded and really just like as loving as you want to be, but you really got to get hit in the face to know what getting hit in the face feels like. And it is crazy how important it was, and how many more zeros there would be on those bills.
Oh, no kidding. If you'd have your insurance company negotiating the prices with the hospital. Michael said that we have a comment from a texter. What do we got, Michael?
So they wanted to know what the website was one more time from the 773.
773. So that is enroll. Go ahead.
Getcoveredillinois.gov. So that would be for anyone in Illinois, actually.
GetCoveredIllinois.gov. All right, there you go. So, yes, please take care of that. And, by the way, in the state of Illinois, if you have kids and you have a certain income level, you also might qualify for All Kids, which is a state's Medicaid program. So that's important to know, too. And that was something when my husband lost his job, we had a COBRA for the awful. I wish I had not paid the whole 18 months. It was so bad. Not realizing that at that point we qualified for All Kids in the state of Illinois. And it was remarkable. It was great coverage. It was all, and we ended up being able to go to the doctors we'd had previously. We actually have one doctor who's great, an ophthalmologist, who only takes Medicaid, and now we can't go to him with Blue Cross Blue Shield.
Oh.
And he's great with Declan. And so we're like, although now.
Now you make too much money. It's terrible.
It's a terrible thing. although now, because he is qualified for something. By the way, another thing I want to let people know. So All Kids is something you should know about if you have kids under the age of, I want to say 18. If you have, if you live in the state of Illinois and you're looking for the Affordable Care Act information, go to getcoveredillinois.gov. And if you have a child with a disability or an adult in your family with a disability, please make sure that you are on the PUNS list, which is the prioritization for the urgency of needs and services, because you might also qualify for health care coverage that way as well. So that was something we didn't know, and now Declan is going to be able to have a little bit smoother sailing with some services. Because, Declan's medical needs are a lot, and it puts a strain on a company. Like I'm glad that I work at WGN, and they're not looking at it like, how long is Declan going to have this thing for the rest of his life?
He's never going
to grow that piece of his brain. it's missing. Yes, let's take a quick break here. Go to the news, and then we are going to catch up with a dentist who's doing a remarkable thing for our veterans. He's created a reason to smile. That he or she, I don't mean to assume. I just, there's an, it's a he, because it's initials. So I'm, see what I did? I did the
initials?
Thing. Yeah, so Dr. AJ.
Oh.
Dr. AJ Asirino. But see, I don't know. See, Dr. Kathy, see what I did there? I was sexist in my own head and out loud. More for this on 720 WGN. It is Wellness Wednesday. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and we are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. Joining me in studio is Dr. Kathy Tynes. She's an associate professor, assistant professor at the Northwestern she's assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern. Is it University or Northwestern Hospital?
It's Northwestern Medical Group.
Medical Group. See, there's. I should have said Northwestern.
It's hard.
Let other people figure it out. It's not us. She's also the president-elect Illinois of the state of the state's medical society. And we have Brandon C. Price, who is one of the masterminds behind Vamp, a music, comedy, and drinking show every Friday night at MCL. That's at 10:30 on Friday and Saturday. Download their Vamp app so you can keep abreast of all the updated information. On the line with us is Dr. AJ Asirino. We want to welcome you to the show. Hey, doctor, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good, and I'm very excited about what you're doing. You are with Decision One Dental. Tell us a little bit about your practice first before we get to the good news for people who really need some help.
Sure. We are 20 practices in Chicago, and we are basically a group of colleagues that have gotten together and tried to gain some of the aspects of a group practice. But not losing the most important part, which is relationships with our patients. And we're trying to do something a little bit different and make sure that our patients are taken care of in great quality and great relationships.
And you have two locations, one on North Oshkosh Avenue. Is that correct? 6749 North Oshkosh?
Yeah, we have actually, there's a total of 20 locations in our group.
20 locations? Hello.
20 locations. My brother is on Oshkosh, and I am in Schaumburg. So the two brothers kind of started it off. And we have 18 other practices around the Chicagoland area.
So, okay, first of all, so you and your brother are both dentists. How many dentists in the family altogether?
Two.
Two, okay.
My mom is a school teacher. My dad's an accountant.
So who decided to go to dental school first?
My brother. Okay. My brother wanted to be a dentist since he was a little kid.
Okay. How many little kids want to be dentists? I mean, what inspired him? What kid sits in the chair and goes, you know, someday I want to have my fingers in somebody's mouth?
The only one I know is Hermie.
Hermie? Yeah. Please tell me it was Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer was why he wanted to be a dentist.
It is.
No.
No. We had some past cousins that were in the field, and I think he just always enjoyed it. I'll tell you what, I'm enjoying the heck out of it, so I'm really glad that he drove me into it.
Well, I was going to say, so he comes home from school with these glorious stories about dental school, and you're like, I got to have some of that.
That's right. I was actually doing some research in osteoporosis, thinking, hey, I wanted to go into the medical world, and he kind of steered me the other way.
Well, it's remarkable what you've created, again, with as many 20 practices across the Chicagoland area, and I love what you are doing for individuals with disabilities. Let's talk about that one first, because you have an event coming up for at the Schaumburg location this Friday the 10th. Is that right?
Yeah, we do it every other month, and I'll tell you what, everybody always asks me about this, and I actually get more enjoyment out of doing this than maybe they get in our services. And our other doctors and our other team members that all volunteer their time doing it. I mean, we were about 2 years ago, one of my patients came in, her brother's in the program, and she was kind of distraught. She was just saying, man, I'm just bummed out. The state of Illinois is really cutting a lot of funding and dentistry is going away. Would you be able to see my brother? And I really couldn't believe that was the process. And after I did some research and looked into it, and by golly, yeah, the funds were being cut. And these are individuals that have no choice. Some of them cannot go out and get a job. Some of them cannot even get into a dental office without some help. And I couldn't believe those are the people that we're leaving stranded, right, that we're leaving without any care. So we're like, hey, I mean, at the time we were, I think, 8 practices or 6 practices, and we were like, I don't know, maybe we can all gather together and try to do something. You know, everybody volunteer their time a certain time of the year, and let's provide as much dentistry as we possibly can. And as we've grown, we've been able to accommodate more and more of these individuals.
So individuals with disabilities have access to, and is this through one program in particular that can come visit at the practice in Schaumburg?
Right now, on those days, Clearbrook, which is a large organization, one of the largest in the state of Illinois, Clearbrook is the group that we are affiliated with. What we do the dentistry on.
Because see, so I have a son who has corpus callosum disorder, and so he's significantly impaired, and I'm familiar with how hard it can be for not just for getting into the dentist's office, but also a lot of sensory issues. I will tell you something very odd, and I rarely ever get to tell dentists this. Declan, well, first of all, he has to be on a body board with with a kind of that cocoon. I don't know if you guys have that for adults too, because I sense he'll need that always, because otherwise he'll grab you. I mean, it's very hard to explain to him what's happening. But I will say this, he had to have fillings done about 4 years ago, and they were concerned about giving him Novocaine, and so they decided to try and see how much, because he has a very high tolerance of pain. His neurological disorder sort of circumvents that message of pain, and because he seeks sensory input so much, he actually giggled through the whole thing with the drill in his tooth. Yeah, believe me.
I'm sure that's a first.
Yeah, I mean, like, they were all, like, my husband, we were all just very, we were flabbergasted. I don't know that you've come across that, but yeah, he was giggling. I don't know that that would continue to be the case, but in that particular instance, yeah, he was giggling because the buzzing in his head just made him laugh.
Very unusual with the drill in the mouth.
Yes.
But I will say that we do get a lot of hugs.
Aww.
When we are working with the Clearbrook patients, and honestly, that is worth a lot to us.
Oh.
You know, so.
Well, thank you so much for doing it. And you're right, there were cuts. I don't know how long you mentioned how long you've been doing this, but I remember when they cut from the Medicaid All Kids program, they removed dental care as part of that when Declan was receiving that. And what they have found, and maybe you know about this, they found in the years afterwards, I mean, there were a lot of other medical issues that then started to present themselves because people weren't getting their dental care. Let's talk a little bit about that and what you're doing for veterans as well.
Yeah, so this is actually a brand new thing that we're doing this year, and my brother's really spearheading this, and a couple of our other docs. I think it's probably another thing that I could not believe that how many vets are going without care, and they sacrificed a lot in their life, and the least we can do is sacrifice a little bit for them. And so we're really excited. November 11th, in a number of our practices, we are having a Veterans Dental Day, and try to get as much dentistry done on them as possible, and hopefully that can also help them in their overall health, which is a big deal.
And tell us a little bit about the medical issues that can arise if somebody lets a dental issue go too long, not get that taken care of.
What's interesting is, in a lot of our veterans, what we're seeing is just broken teeth and abscesses that have just gotten really out of control. periodontal disease that has gotten out of control. So the body is constantly fighting an infection in the mouth. And so sometimes they have other health issues, and now the body's fighting three or four different health issues instead of one or two. And that's really the way that I always look at the mouth and the overall health of the body is that the mouth does not want to fight a bacterial infection constantly or an abscess we have enough things going on in our body that we got to go ahead and take care of. The last thing I want to do is have one of my patients do that. So we're hoping that we can help some of these vets take care of those issues. And maybe even, you know, it's amazing too, especially with Clearbrook and veterans, just the education part is a gigantic help to them, you know.
Right.
Sometimes they just don't know how to clean properly. They don't know some of the things that they can be doing at home that can actually help them, and it's very inexpensive.
Well, I appreciate and thank you so much for doing this program. How can veterans find out about this service, the free dental appointments for veterans?
So you can go onto our website. Decision One Dental is our website. Go on there. You can also look up Dr. Michael Acerno, Acierno, on his website. We have it as clear as day on there. And we would love for as many veterans that are listening to this, come on out, try to accommodate everybody possible. We really care about you, and we appreciate what you've done. So we want to get back.
That's wonderful that you're doing this. And one last thing before we go, because I appreciate you staying up late to make sure people know about this. Again, for anyone who missed that website, it is decisiononedental.com. We're talking to Dr. AJ Acerno of Decision One Dental. Can you tell people that even though there was a study not too long ago that questioned the necessity of flossing, can you please tell people how important it is? Because could you please?
This is brought up to me almost on every single time. Yes. It is still very important. You know, there's still nothing better than a good, some good dental flossing. So please do that.
Yeah, please, 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 please. You know, I don't care what article you saw that validates your. No, you stop. I'm going to throw things at you.
Just got to swish water in my mouth a little bit, and I'm good to go.
I'm gonna hold you down and floss your teeth for you till you build. Thank you so much, Doc. I really appreciate your time. And if you ever get a chance, we'd love to have you in studio sometime.
I love it, and I appreciate you guys getting this word out. I really do. Thank you so much.
Oh, anytime. Our pleasure. And again, thank you for all that you're doing. Have a great night.
You too.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase. Studio joining me is Brandon C. Price, mastermind behind Vamp, the music, comedy, and drinking show every Friday and Saturday night at MCL. Joining us in studio for Wellness Wednesday is Dr. Kathy Tynes, assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern and president-elect of the Illinois State Medical Society. And we've been talking a little bit about the Affordable Care Act. A moment ago, we were talking to Dr. AJ Acerno of Decision One Dental, providing free dental appointments for veterans this Saturday, November 11th. Again, go to decisiononedental.com. If you have someone in your life who's a veteran and you know they haven't had the opportunity to go see a dentist, please let them know. decisiononedental.com. And tomorrow night, we'll also provide some more information about other events coming up for Veterans Day. There's a lot of great companies stepping up and doing, you know, it's one of those things where it's not even the least we could do. It's just, let's do something. And it's appreciated. We were also talking to the dentist about helping individuals with disabilities get a dental appointment and how much of a struggle that can be. And Dr. Tynes, you were saying there are other places that provide dental care as well if people are looking for some help in that regards.
Yeah, absolutely. I was really thrilled to hear of another resource for care for my patients who have developmental disabilities. That can be such a struggle.
Yeah.
Because, not every dental practice is equipped to handle that kind of care. I know Illinois Masonic has a dental clinic that knows how to handle patients with developmental disabilities. So I've referred a few patients there. And in terms of people who have limited means for further dental care, University of Illinois
Dental school.
Yes, the dental school.
That's right. When I was a kid, because my parents didn't have a lot of money, so I had all my first fillings there.
Oh, wow.
Too. Yeah. You can get your hair cut at the haircut school.
Really? Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
A lot of schools will do it for like $2.
Yeah, that's where I went when I was little.
Yeah. So they have a sliding scale. So people who have dental needs and don't know how to pay for them, U of I is the place to go. Go to their website.
Excellent. Yeah. And make sure you start, if you just hear that and go, oh, maybe I'll do that sometime. Do it now. Go to the websites, make the phone calls, because if you put it off, there might be a waiting list now. So I'm
there is.
I'm the worst at this where I'm like, I'll do it eventually. And then if I had just done it when I thought of it, I would be able to do it when I needed to.
Or you'd have a cavity filling instead of a root canal.
Oh, man.
and the dentist is right. Your overall health is impacted by your dental health.
Yeah.
And studies have shown that over and over again. So take care of your teeth. They're there for a reason. And when they're diseased, your body's fighting an infection or inflammation that it doesn't need to. And it's taking resources from elsewhere.
So there you go. Get that taken care of. Because I did go for a long time. I will say I was very fortunate that when I went to the dentist after a ridiculous amount of time, I did not have much except for like one loose filling. And I had to have that fixed. But I was so lucky.
Lucky you.
I'm not going to tell you how long it was.
We're from Alabama. We drink milk and there's fluoride in the water. So I have great teeth.
You have great teeth. You're good.
I've been a smoker for 15 years and I've had like two cavities.
He quit smoking over a year ago.
God
bless.
A year and 7 months.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much.
Awesome.
It still feels good to say.
Have you still tallied how much money you've saved?
I mean, it doesn't mean money saved. What a silly.
Let's take a break here. We'll have some conversation after the news. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving health and some conversations you should have with your family about your health. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Brandon C. Price, the mastermind behind Vamp, the music, comedy, and drinking show at MCL every Friday and Saturday night. You can go to vampchicago.com for more ticket information and download the Vamp app for constant update. Not constant. I don't mean like you're going to be bugging them.
I mean every 5 minutes.
Every
we just
5 minutes.
Text you.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Don't tell people that because then they won't download the app. You want to get your discounts. You want to get your information.
It also sends money to your account all the time though when you have the app downloaded.
Sends money to your account?
Yeah, just randomly.
Okay, mm-hmm. Fine then. Well, there you go. I should have asked off the air if Dr. Kathy Tynes, who is the assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern and president-elect of the Illinois State Medical Society, do you have any medical apps that you use? I mean, because I use even workout apps. I use a Samsung Health and I love being able to keep track of when I'm riding my bike or walking or climbing stairs, that kind of stuff. What do you rely on any apps as a doc?
So there are two. There's one that's called UpToDate.
UpToDate.
And it's a general knowledge medical app. It's geared toward physicians, but there is an interface for consumers, and it has a lot of patient information that's really invaluable, just about all kinds of medical conditions. The other one that I recently discovered, and I'm taking two very long flights tomorrow, so I may end up having, hopefully I won't be using it, but it's called AirRx.
Okay.
And it's for physicians who happen to be on a flight and have an emergency.
Really?
So it covers the most common scenarios of what kind of things happen on board of an aircraft and, you know, what kind of equipment you have available and, you know, how, you know, what kinds of things, what kind of priorities you have and, you know, how you should respond to emergencies in the air.
So excellent. When someone's like, is there a doctor here? You're like, I pull up this app. Like, well, now I know. Because you can't even use a stethoscope or anything on a plane, right? Like nothing works.
They have defibrillators. They have medications. They have oxygen, obviously. So, you know, this has happened to me before. I've been on an airplane without an app and had to respond to emergencies. And, you know, you fly by the seat of your pants, quite literally. When you're in that situation, you do the best that you can. But to have a resource is wonderful. So I think all physicians should know about this. AirRx.
That's great.
Is the
Very
app.
Cool.
You can get it from iTunes or the
Play Store. And nurses too, probably, if they're flying.
Absolutely.
They want to be prepared for an emergency airborne.
Do you think a lot of doctors will hear that question sometimes and just kind of hope? Like, not obviously you answer the call.
Is there a doctor on board?
Like, please somebody else say something real quick.
I've heard,
can anybody fly this plane? is there any other pilot?
I've been flying with my, actually on my honeymoon with my first marriage. My ex-husband and I are both physicians and on the way there, we had an emergency and I think he took care of the first one. And on the way back, there was another emergency. And
he's like, you got this
turn.
One.
It's your turn.
Yeah, seriously. So, and that, I think that's the last time it's happened to me now that I think about it.
And that's when you knew the marriage wouldn't last.
I'm sorry.
He's like, what do you mean my turn?
Right. So it's always your turn.
What does that mean? Jeez. Michael has a text from a listener.
Yes, from the 630. They had a question for Dr. Tynes. They asked, it was pretty interesting. How do you feel about the healing powers of music? Is it significant or just entertainment?
Wow. So, That's interesting you ask that of me, because I am a huge music aficionado. That's my thing. That's what I do in my free time. I don't play any instruments, and I try to sing badly, but I'm a big believer for myself personally. Music is soothing, and it allows me to get out of my head and you know, go to a space where I'm not thinking about my day or my work, or just completely disengage from worries. So I think music has that power for me, and I'm sure it has it for a lot of other people as well. There's certainly been data that shows that music in the operating room can be beneficial for a patient's recovery. So they've done studies where they've had no music versus they've had music while people were under. And, you know, taken with large groups of patients, the patients who were operated with music in the background did better. So I don't know what you... Huh. Can take away from that, but
what if the doctors are also better? You know, I'm always like better at my job working to music a little. You know, whenever I'm like kind of rocking out, I'm like cutting the artery. Like,
well, they always do that, like a
professional manner.
Well, like Grey's Anatomy, they all have different music.
Yeah, I thought you were a carpenter, but okay.
What kind of artery? If you can cut a board, you can cut a vein. It's not hard.
Oh, sure, same old. But yeah, I would imagine part of it has to do with the surgeon being relaxed. Absolutely. Sure.
Well, and I know that there is some research into using music therapy with Alzheimer's patients and things like that. According to the Harvard Medical School, music therapy can calm anxiety, ease pain, and provide a pleasant diversion during chemotherapy as well. So,
well, it takes you out of, like, I think you hit the nail on the head. It takes you out of your own thoughts, and it's such a, I think, mental vacation is like the point of most, what, you know, therapy and people sitting, what is it? What am I trying to say? Yoga?
Yoga, meditation.
You know, meditation. There you go, right? That's, and the music's, yeah, the same thing.
Certainly. You know, and that's, we tell people who, you know, have anxiety to look into yoga and meditation. And certainly music belongs in that vein, mm-hmm, as well. Because of, and it's probably in some ways less effort to empty your mind when you're listening to music versus meditation can be difficult. It can be challenging to really be able to control or shut off your thoughts. Whereas with music, it may be a little easier.
Yeah, no, there seems to be a significant neurological impact. So there, and again, if you Google music and how it heals or music therapy, you'll find a lot of information about that too, because they're also stroke patients. They've known to help people restore speech or work on speech with that as well. So interesting. Thank you for that question. Do we have any other questions, Michael? Don't want to leave anybody out there hanging.
Yeah, for Brandon from the 815, does the app really give you money?
Just joking. I mean, there's probably only one way to know.
That's
wow.
Great.
That would be
great
to
point.
Download
wow.
Venn Comedy,
great point.
The app. And come see me at the show. We'll talk about it. Maybe you have suggestions as to how the money could be delivered.
Or Brandon will make sure he has a couple singles in his pocket.
There's a lot of things you could check out. All you got to do is come to the show and download the app. We'll see you there.
There you go. When you throw something out there like that, you've got to make sure.
I mean, anything's a possibility.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
It's enticing.
It is enticing. Let's talk some more. Our phones are waiting for you if you want to call. Everyone's texting tonight, but they're just listening. They don't want to talk just yet. 312-981-7200. When we come back, we'll talk about your Thanksgiving health. That's the headline I've been given by the doc, Thanksgiving health. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me in studio is Brandon C. Price, one of our regulars and one of our sidecars, hanging out tonight. But it's great to see you again. It's been a while.
I know. It's good to be here.
Are you going home for Thanksgiving, by the way?
I am not.
Oh, so you know on Thanksgiving Day that we do something called Second Thanksgivings. Yes. Well, Michael has not been a part of the show. I know that he's probably going home, so I don't know. They'll be around. We, everyone, you know, celebrates their Thanksgiving, and then bring your leftovers and hang out with me on the air whenever you can get here.
On Friday?
On Thanksgiving Day.
Oh, okay.
It's you celebrate Thanksgiving, and I'm your second Thanksgiving meal.
Yeah, I don't really have a Thanksgiving anymore.
Well, come hang. We'll have tons of food.
I mean, he didn't say upsetly. It's kind of nice.
Well, come hang out with us. You can be on the air, talk about how you don't celebrate Thanksgiving, really.
Okay. All right,
I'm going to be watching it on the stream.
On the stream, yeah. Enjoy non-stop. Thanksgiving. There was one year, Dr. Kathy Tynes, you're welcome to join us too.
Oh, sure.
Come hang out.
Absolutely.
But there was one, the first year we did it was amazing. And even like Adam Selzer made, he made Charles Dickens punch, like in a crock pot. It was amazing. Everyone brought great food, pastries and dinner and everything. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. We should do this again. And so the next year I'm like, oh, there were so many people here. And then it was the horrible rain. And my mother even canceled. Like, my mom did not come down for second Thanksgivings with me. Nobody was here except for just the people that were in the building. So it was me and Roger Badish, and I think Carm was around. We had massive amounts of food. So I was a little bit nervous, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it. It's my tradition. I'm going to do it again. And then everybody was back last year. So love to have you. Come on, join us.
I wish. I'm going to be with my husband's family in Detroit, or as he says it, Detroit.
Detroit. They'll have the football game on.
Yeah, Detroit, they play every year. Are they playing? Is it a home
Cowboys
game?
Cowboys and Detroit both always play.
Is it always? Is it at home this year, do you know, for Detroit?
I mean, I used to be a Cowboys fan. I'm not sure. Yeah. Even that sport's only got a few more years, right? That, from a medical perspective, they've got to shut that down fairly soon.
Oh, yeah.
Or flag football.
Yeah, that'll be fun to watch. Well, then women can play.
There you go.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
There you go.
There's definitely a lot of data coming out about it. Oh, it was long-term effects.
It was 109, I think, out of 110 autopsies from former football players. They had given their bodies over to science. It was only one that didn't show signs of the CCE. And brain damage.
And he was not good at football.
he was on the bench.
Ouch. No. It's so harsh. And you had to figure that. It's over a lot. Not just like your professional career, but like all the risks that kids take. You know, when you've got the peewee football teams and the when I was playing at Lane Tech, there was a kid from Simeon who in the opening moments of the game went down, broke his neck, and is a paraplegic. They did an article on him recently. Has been
so sad.
I think he was a quadriplegic, as a matter of fact. So it's
if it was his neck, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some the answer is sometimes from people is quickly like, well, you know the risks and you sign up for it or whatever. But the kind of what's coming out now, it seems like, well, no, we didn't know the risks. I mean, it's like smoking. We've learned them now, and now we should, behavior should maybe change accordingly. I don't know. Or you just pay them more, and now they know, and you get paid for college or something, and if that's your thing,
and let the Nazis eat Papa John's pizza. So
and be verified on Twitter. Did you see that?
Yes, I did see that. So
okay,
bizarre.
Cupid kicks out Nazis. Twitter, come on,
Twitter. what do you? Well, speaking of that kind of conversation, maybe that's part of what we should talk about: Thanksgiving health and keep making sure that you're not getting stressed out over the holidays with all your relatives. I think last Thanksgiving was hard for people. I think it's probably a little different this year. Because that first one after the election last year was rough.
I have
family members who work in D.C. who work for the Trump administration, and it was interesting. Like everyone's just trying to like, let's just have a good time. Let's not get into it over.
No sore winners, guys.
No sore winner. There was a lot of gloating. There's a lot of gloating, and there's a lot of just. I'm gonna have another bottle of wine. So what do you want to talk about? Thanksgiving health. What should we be thinking about?
Well, we're talking about just keeping healthy over Thanksgiving. Not that I want to lecture people about not enjoying yourself on Thanksgiving. Of course, the biggest tip I can give you around Thanksgiving for staying alive is not to be a turkey. But
okay, don't be a turkey.
Don't be a turkey.
Sorry.
So good.
That was good.
Did you like that?
A lot of people have a real subpar turkey noise. I'm quite impressed.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Pretty authentic. Not that I think I've ever heard a real turkey make that noise, but...
That's what they sound like.
Esmeralda's like, Esmeralda hasn't decided. She's not sure if she's thrilled with that.
Esmeralda's looking for a real turkey. She's confused.
Where is it? Is it down there? All right.
All right, don't be a turkey.
I'm going to talk about three health risks besides being a turkey. One is just your calorie intake. That's an obvious one. But
What if you don't eat for a whole week before Thanksgiving?
Oh, no, that's not. Skipping breakfast is not a great idea because you're going to eat more dinner than you would otherwise. So,
well, this also goes in the cooking part of it, too. So try to be smart about what you're cooking and how you're preparing things, too.
Well, so one plate with a standard size of all the turkey and the stuffing and the mashed potatoes and the cornbread and the gravy and the green bean casserole, which is my favorite. The sweet potatoes, the cranberry sauce, and wine. So how many calories do you think that adds up
3,000.
To?
3,000. Oh. What?
So, God bless you. That's twice as much than it actually is.
It's only 1,500 calories?
It's only 1,500 calories. It's still too much, Patty. Come on. That should be your whole daily intake.
Hold on. Here's the important question. You said all those things. You did not mention gravy. Is that with or
without? I said gravy.
Oh, you did say gravy?
Yes,
okay.
I feel like with seconds, you get to 3,000 and then
Good. Yeah. So and then pie.
That's your first serving, yes, before seconds. So, you know, keeping track of your portion sizes, take a little bit, eat slowly. You'll still feel good.
I'm having trouble understanding the words that she's saying.
I mean, I'm literally sitting here thinking about the terrible physical pain, and you know it's happening, and you know it's going to happen. I mean, at least me, I say you, I mean me. You know, I just you eat that much, and then you're just, well, I'll eat more, and it'll hurt bad.
Here's what we'll do.
Wait, I'll wait till, like, my esophagus is telling me to stop, you know?
It's so good.
It's
nuts.
It's also very, very good. Well, I'll make a very light gravy for everybody. I'll figure out ways to...
1,400 calories. There we go.
Exactly. Much better.
All right. So the second hazard.
Yes.
Frying your turkey.
No.
It's delicious, but it's also dangerous. So here's the statistics. From 2002 to 2015, there was $8 million in property damage and 672 injuries that occurred from deep frying turkeys. So be careful. So there's
those are those big like vats that people buy, right? That they do outside.
They do it outside. Hopefully. Not next to the building. Yeah.
Do you watch Gilmore Girls?
No.
It's one of the best episodes when Suki's husband decides they're going to deep fry, and then they decide to start deep frying everything.
Ooh.
So, yeah, it's a very funny episode. Anyway, deep frying is not the safest thing to do, first of all, for your property, but also I would imagine...
It's just so healthy for you, it's worth the risk to property, right?
Sure. I think it's the taste, but yeah. So there's actually a web page, and I'm sorry I don't have the exact web page. You can get through it to it through FEMA, believe it or not, or the U.S. Fire Administration, and it tells you how to prevent turkey fryer fires.
Prevent turkey fryer,
turkey fryer fires.
Go to FEMA.
Say
only
that
you can.
Say that 10 times fast.
They're busy this year. Don't be messing with having to burn things down because
you had
to fry
right?
your turkey.
Well, it's on their web page.
It is on the web page.
You don't have to bother.
They're
them.
Trying to prevent. Yes. I'm just saying, don't not follow them.
Only
and then,
you can prevent turkey fires.
Mm-hmm.
Turkey fryer fires. You got to throw that all in there. Only you can do that. All right. So don't. By the way, how do you do yours? A full roasted?
Oh, yeah. In the oven. Yeah, absolutely.
I've seen a lot of people are smoking them as well now. Smoked turkey. Like my neighbors used to have one of those big smokers outside. I'll be roasting
mine. I
feel
like it's so good the way it is in the oven. It cooks itself.
That's... Do you do a whole turkey? Because I'm going to do a turkey breast this year, I think.
Whole turkey, right. Stuff it. It's all good.
How do you cook it at the Ren Fair when you get the leg and it's like red, purple?
Oh, that's bizarre.
What is that? How is that prepared? That's how I'd like mine prepared.
That seems fire roasted.
Who's
doing that?
Please
thing?
Let them know
turkey
my preference.
Like thing.
I think that's deep fried. Yeah.
That'll work.
Are you going home for Thanksgiving? Or are you doing something?
I'll be here.
Oh, you'll be here? You're working with me?
I'll be working, yeah.
Second Thanksgiving's with Esmeralda.
Yeah, so I don't think I'm going to go home. I haven't figured it out because I'm also co-hosting at noon with John Hansen.
Oh, that's
so
fun.
I might as well just stay here.
Oh, there you go. That'll be very fun. Well, we'll figure something out. So let me see what I'm doing. Maybe we'll figure some place to go because there's a lot of great places that are open on Thanksgiving, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so there's the your calorie intake, your turkey fryer fires.
Last but not least.
Uh-oh. Hit me.
Deep vein thrombosis.
I know, right?
DVT for short. So when you're passed out on the couch from too much turkey, what's happening to the blood in your veins? It's pooling. It's stagnating. And it can form a blood clot.
Okay, go for a walk.
Break off and go to your lungs. And cause a pulmonary embolism, which can be fatal.
Why is that more common when you're on Thanksgiving?
Never lay down or eat too much and then stop moving.
What is it?
Your
combined
blood will pool and you will die.
Is it
partly because of, you know, too much eating too much, laying around too much, but the other part is the travel.
Oh, so you've been sitting in a car or flying somewhere?
Yes.
Okay.
So getting getting up and walking around is crucial. And almost 300,000 Americans die every year from a blood clot. So
not on Thanksgiving, though.
Not on Thanksgiving.
Okay, I was going to say, that's a remarkable.
Oh, my God,
that
no.
seems like something we should really
pay attention to. Yeah, national tragedy.
And not looking forward to Thanksgiving this year. It's so dangerous.
So get around and move. So if you find that you've been sitting down for more than, let's say, an hour,
Yeah.
Find a reason to get up and walk around.
And if you're on a plane.
I should get up and walk
around. So the threshold, I think 6 hours is where we start to really see an increased incidence for blood clots on a plane ride. But, you know, that applies to a car ride as well. And, you know, just, you still should get up. If you have the opportunity, get up, walk around the airplane, mm-hmm. and move your feet even if you can't get up.
That's why I never want the middle seat or the window seat. I always like the aisle. So I can just get up and move around a little bit.
I could take aisle or window. I remember back in the day, they didn't charge extra for the exit seat. I used to always just buy my ticket, and then the day of, I'd go to the gate, and I would tell the person at the gate or whatever that I would act. I was very proud of my acting job, and I would act very afraid and say, "I just really need the exit row. I'm the one who needs to be by the exit door."
Why would you act nervous? You want the person that's most responsible and ready to help in an emergency. I don't want your crazy ass.
I don't think the person at the gate just wants me, the nervous person, to like go away and the problem be answered. So it was like, I'm afraid of flying. Let me sit by the thing. It worked every time up until they started, and then they were like, "Well, it cost extra." Like, well, now I know everybody wants it.
I'm nervous and cheap, so I'm not.
Yeah,
doing
absolutely.
It
right. Sorry, I'm going to be really terrified the row behind. Climb over the seat.
All right, let's get Brandon in check during the break. More after this on WGN 720. You know what I'm saying. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is Dr. Kathy Tynes, the Assistant Professor of Medicine at Northwestern and President-elect the Illinois State Medical Society. We also have Brandon C. Price, who's riding sidecar. So great. Great to have you back. Before we talk some more medical stuff, I want to talk to you about your new castmates. You've gotten some new people at VAMP.
Well, we are in the second stage of auditions.
Oh.
So we've had auditions. We saw over 200 amazing human beings.
Come on.
Chicago. It was honestly, I was blown away. It had been a few years since I had really, you know, been out there auditioning for improv shows. Just to see the amount of talent and the amount of focus that's been on music, which is kind of new relatively in this comedy scene, it was just incredible. We were blown away. And so we've actually, the second round of callbacks are Saturday.
That's
so
amazing.
It's really exciting. And we hope to have at least a couple, if not a few more cast members join us for the big move. So,
and do we know where the big move is going to be?
I do. You don't yet.
All right,
but
then.
The announcement is coming very, right. very soon. And
will it be through your VAMP app?
Oh, it's going to be all over. I'm sure if you're on the email list or have the app, you'll be the first to know. It's going to be, it's very, very exciting. It's been a crazy, stressful ride, but we're not going to miss a beat. We're not going to miss a week. And it's definitely, it's really exciting.
Okay.
I might let you in on off the air here in a minute, but
all right, then, fine.
Everybody else is going to have to definitely download the app.
I promise to keep my mouth shut, despite what people might tell you.
I mean, you're an alumni. You've played the show, so you're already signed to know
that was such a rough
confidentiality.
Night. I enjoyed bartending. I did not enjoy having to try to sing. That was not my thing.
You got through it.
I got through it. Elliot did great. I got through it.
Elliot's a natural.
Yes, he was very good at that. I could not. I was like, I don't like doing this. I had to sing. I don't like doing that.
It's she did good.
Challenging.
I had a friend. There was so we do these New Year's Eve shows, and there was one year that there was someone had put together a whole program that all the comics were gonna have to sing and do all these things, and I started getting an anxiety attack. I just can't.
Oh, if you asked me to do stand up, right? I mean, like, I would absolutely have the same exact feeling. Like,
yeah,
that's so miserably scary. I need to hide behind a guitar or something.
Well, and I found out that like one of the comics was really angry because they had asked me to get to the event out like at one of the, I can't remember which venue we were supposed to be at, an hour and a half early so we could rehearse for doing the singing thing. And I talked to Cochran and I was like, I don't want to sing. And he was like, well, then don't, you know, if you don't come to the rehearsal, we won't, you know, we'll just you sort of walk through it and don't do any of the singing. And it turns out, it was like 5 years ago, the comic who thought I was supposed to be there like an hour and a half early is still mad at me.
Really?
For
isn't
not coming.
Funny?
Like, well, it's like, how do we explain to somebody that you have, like, I do my stand-up, I do what's in my, what I'm hired to do,
mm-hmm.
right? And the rest of it is like, I could literally have a panic attack on stage. It's just not, I freeze.
Well, I mean, you don't hire a welder to build things out of wood. You
know,
you just like, we all specialize in things, and it, just because it's the arts doesn't mean... You know what I mean? I would not want to tap dance.
A thousand,
or juggle.
In front of 1,000 people, you want me to sing?
I would feel bad about it.
That's just wrong.
I'm not good at it. I hate doing things I'm bad at.
I was just surprised to find out he's still angry at me. And it was such the level of absurdity. I was like, oh, I can't help you with that.
What are the health risks of carrying a grudge like that?
Yeah, what are the health risks of carrying a grudge like that?
I don't know if that study's been done. Well, but I just, that sounds like a good one to do.
Here's the crazy thing. I just found out last week that he was still mad at me about it, right? Like, he hasn't talked to me. Like, I asked somebody, I'm like, he's like really not kind to me anymore. Like, well, at one point he told me he wanted to punch me in the face about something, and I was like, what, dude, what is going on? And he, but here's the thing, if you can't tell me what you are upset about, then that's no longer about me, because I can't answer to something that happened 5 years ago, you know? I can't.
I just, life's too short a little.
Life is too short.
And it's a big overreaction.
And it gets shorter every single day. Which, by the way, we were talking about music earlier and the healing power of music. Of our good friends of the show, not good friends of the show, I'm talking about legendary hosts, Steve and Johnny, have messaged me about a great song that they enjoyed during the CMAs. And I think what's hard for a lot of women is to say, oh, to be called victims, right? I think that's one of the things that women are having a little bit of a struggle with when we talk. Have these conversations about what it means to be sexually harassed and sexually assaulted, because no one likes to think of themselves as a victim. And we have you seen this piece by the woman who said that Reverend Jesse Jackson grabbed her during an event that he was speaking, and he you know, made comments about her size and how much he liked all of that and was looking her up and down. And she, you know, people around remember like how aggressive he was verbally and physically, like grabbing her and touching her thigh, and everybody laughed it off. And that's just what we do. We just laugh it off, and I think that so many people around us think, well, she laughed it off, she's fine with it, so I'm not going to make a big deal out of it. Plus, it's Reverend Jesse Jackson, or it's the boss of the company, and you know, you sort of, that builds up over time. And then people, as he was mentioning that song, even women start to wonder, maybe if I didn't dress this way, or if I hadn't worn that. And then you start worrying about, well, if I don't dress that way, does it affect my, you know, what my boss thinks of me and thinks that I don't look nice anymore because he always pays more attention when I look good? It makes people crazy. Are you talking to your colleagues about this as well, Doc?
You know, I'm in a small office. This hasn't really come up in my small world, but you know, certainly it's all over the media, and it's amazing how it seems to have taken on a life of its own, and it's something that's been brushed under the rug for so long.
Yeah,
it's gratifying to see that it's being taken seriously now, and you know, there are some real consequences that are attached to this. So thankfully, this is no longer something that's hidden or something that's you know, dismissed as just juvenile, verbal foreplay or whatever.
Or bravado, or he's just, you know, that's just, he's from a different time and it's okay if he does that.
It's a way of keeping women down.
Do you ever have patients who are, or I'm guessing when you were younger, when you were starting out, and you probably look like a kid when you were a doctor, because you still look, you know.
Oh, thank you.
I'm just saying.
Oh my goodness, wow.
But I'm saying, like, you might probably had patients who were suspicious about your abilities and.
Oh, sure.
Like, where's the dude doctor?
Oh, I was called nurse all the time. So. And where I trained, there was, when you go into surgery, there's changing rooms, right, where you put on your scrubs. And instead of male and female, it was doctor's changing room and nurse's changing room.
Really? Wow.
And so, you know, yeah, I get the fact that I don't.
Is that progressive or conveniently sexist for the time?
This wasn't that long ago. That blew my mind when I saw that happen. And there were stories amongst my colleagues, a surgeon like kind of rubbing his hip into the female medical student as he's doing a procedure because he was, you know, doing something physically arduous. And I don't know if it was inadvertent, but it did not seem inadvertent to her. You know, lots and lots of examples of, you know, a double standard. So,
yeah, no doubt.
Absolutely.
That's so bizarre. When we come back, I want to talk about your healthcare wishes. What are you guys dreaming about for your healthcare wishes? More after this on 720 WGN. Give us a call, 312-981-7200. You can call or text us, 312-981-7200. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, hanging out with Brandon C. Price, our mastermind behind Vamp, the music, comedy, and drinking show every Friday and Saturday night at MCL through the end of the year. And they have a new location that he will announce soon. He did not tell me off the air, so I have no secrets to keep from you. I did not keep any secrets from you. Dr. Kathy Tynes, assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern and president-elect of the Illinois State Medical Society. And we're going to talk about your health care wishes. And so let me try to guess what this. So this is, if in the event that something happens, what do you want your family to do for you?
Absolutely.
Extraordinary, yes. Measures.
Sure.
Right.
So, you know, it's never an easy topic. And, you know, the worst time to bring it up is when something's already happened.
When it's too late.
Yeah. Mm. So it's much better to talk in advance and to have a conversation with your loved one while you can still have a good rational conversation. Before everyone's in distress or before you're incapacitated and unable to tell people what you want.
Okay.
So, you know, around the holidays is a good time because people are together, you know, and everyone's in a good mood. And, you know, and if you do become incapacitated, doctors are going to be looking for, you know, decisions and advance directives. And if you don't have something laid out in advance, they will need to go to your family members. And certainly at least having a conversation with a trusted family member, the one that you think is going to be able to represent your wishes the best, that's an important thing to do. And if it's not your closest family member, it's probably best to
designate somebody.
Designate. So that's called the Durable Power of Attorney for Healthcare, DPOAH.
How do you establish that?
So it's a document. There are forms that are readily available online. In fact, the Illinois State Medical Society has a form that you can download. It's isms.org/APD. So that's for a personal decision is the brochure. So it's a full brochure that talks about all of these things, and it allows you to fill out the form and have a witness, and it'll be a legal document. If you don't do that in advance, then there's a hierarchy by state law as far as who makes decisions for you if you're not able to make them for yourself. You know, it typically goes from spouse down to oldest child, and then to parent, and then to, you know, frankly, you know, friends, neighbors, you know. So if you have someone who you think is going to be a better decision maker for you who's not in that hierarchy, then designate them legally.
Right. If you don't, let's say you don't trust your, I mean, like, I'm not saying I don't trust my husband, but in the off chance that I need my mom to make that fortune. Choice, I'm just saying.
Well, you know, some people are, you know, too emotionally attached to really, you know, represent your wishes the best, or you don't want to put that stress on them. You know, there may be somebody who you think is calmer, more rational, whatever, who's going to be able to speak for you in the way that you want to be, you know, treated.
Do any of us in the room, have you done this talk?
I have not.
Okay, just checking.
So, no, that's a very good question. And I have, you know, I have a new spouse, as we've talked about.
Make sure, and he's a lawyer, so this works out very well.
My lovely John Culver. I take it back. No, I do have a document. I don't have the durable power of attorney for healthcare, but it does go to him automatically.
Right.
But I do have a power of attorney, or I'm sorry, an advance directive. So, you know, it's pretty broad. It just talks about, you know, I don't want to be kept alive artificially. It doesn't really talk about any specifics, such as, you know, things like dialysis or transfusions or mechanical ventilation or artificial feeding. So there are a lot of nuances to what you may or may not want that you can lay out in advance.
Okay.
And that's what that document can do for you.
Brandon, do you have somebody in mind that you know would trust?
Well, it's funny. I actually just fake signed up recently. My grandfather, we've been dealing a lot with my grandmother passed away, and he has dementia, but he's real smart. And if you don't know he's got dementia, he'll fool you for a little bit.
Right.
And so and he's also very stubborn. And so our problem was, he can't hop online and find that form, obviously. And so we were trying to do it for him, and he knew my mother was. She was doing all the work, and he knew he wouldn't take her word for it. He's like, a doctor will have to get me to sign that form. Or whatever. And so I ended up, I mean, signing up too, because it's just something we're all going to do. Well, we'll all do it. And so I didn't actually, you know, send in my paperwork, what we, you know, went through it together or whatever. It was funny. It's interesting. Like, You don't think about that kind of thing, and, no. And yet you're sitting here forcing this person, because my grandmother didn't do it, and the insurance company came after the land, and like there was, I mean, it was crazy, because she, you know, Parkinson's, so you die for 20 years, you know, I mean, it was just the amount of time she was in the hospital towards the end, it was years in a row, and so the expenses were just mounted, and my grandfather, who was her only caregiver, you know, 85 years old, lived in the hospital bed next to her, which was ended up being a blessing because his dementia really kicked in that year too. So he ended up being hospitalized, and thank God, small town Alabama, they basically just gave him free care, you know what I mean, and brought him meals. But then he's in this position where now he owes $200,000. There's no idea what's going on, and no, there's no. There was no system for her, you know, for him to be able to make a decision for her, or for us to be able to do it for her, because it did go to him. And again, the line is so blurry on, like, can he make that decision in a given moment? So it was pretty interesting that we all went through it, but we learned a lot. And you know, I will say that healthcare and insurance tried to be a big, bad, terrible force, but some really awesome people in a really small town came through.
Oh, that sounds remarkable.
It was, yeah. The emotional.
I can imagine. Well, thank you for sharing that. I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, so short story, I think my sister gets most of my stuff.
Your sister gets most of your stuff. Esmeralda, do you have a designated person? Do you have anybody that you can think of that you would assign that to?
I would say...
Right?
My boyfriend?
Oh, Colin's going to be... He's gonna be like,
he just found out via the air. He's got a huge responsibility.
So legally, you'd have to designate him.
Yeah, because he's not related to you. So you've got to get that paperwork together.
Yeah, because I mean, I guess I would say my parents.
See, you gotta get that paper.
Who do you think would want you to stay alive longer?
Colin. Oh, they both would. No, everyone would.
Yes, well, I would. Just so you know, I also would want you to stay alive longer.
Don't pick me, Esmeralda, is all I'm saying.
There you go. Oh, too funny.
You would just, you'd be like, just cut it. It's done.
Nah, she'd let me know. She's not into it.
Well, so, you know, when you have these conversations, you're really doing that person a favor, because
in
those moments, they're very emotional moments, and having some guidance in advance about what your wishes are, and it can be invaluable, and it's something that they can, you know, have in front of them as a piece of paper that's, you know, with your handwriting on it, that tells them it's okay. You know, it's okay to not do this, or, you know, do everything, or whatever your wishes are. But
it takes a lot of burden off everybody.
It does. Yeah. It does. I've seen people struggle with this over and over and over again. And, you know, it's a blessing when they do have some strong guidance. They have had these conversations. They know what their loved one wants.
We have a listener who has a question for you. Hey, Levon, how are you doing?
Good, Patty. How are you tonight?
Very well. We're so glad you called. What do you want to ask?
Well, what I wanted to ask was, I'm all aware of the power of attorney. So, like, I went did it with my parents and things like that. But I have a son that's turning 18 in December, and we had a friend, one of my girlfriends, her daughter ended up getting, like, meningitis when she went to college. And because of, I guess, all these HIPAA laws, the parents weren't able to talk to the doctor or make any kind of medical decisions because she was over 18. Is there something that we could fill out as a parent for our children that are over 18 that we could be part of their diagnosis and what happens to them?
So that would be up to the 18-year-old who's legally an adult for them to execute that. So
okay, well, would he go to an attorney to get it done? Like when we did the power of attorney for my mom, we went to an attorney. Is there some kind of, you know, form or name for it, like a power of attorney?
Yeah, it's a durable power of attorney for healthcare. DPOAH is kind of the shorthand for it. And there is one that you can download from the Illinois State Medical Society. It's ISMS.org.
Okay, well, we used to live in Illinois. Now we just relocated to Arizona. So I guess I could look under like Maricopa County or something like that, the county that we're in.
Yeah, I'm sure there has to be resources. Try going through the Arizona State Medical Society first and give them a call and ask them, and they should be able to direct you in the right, point you in the right direction.
Okay, so go to the Arizona Medical Association.
Right.
And what were those abbreviations again? You said they were DPOH?
DPOAH, Durable Power of Attorney for Healthcare. So it's different.
Awesome.
So there's a power of attorney, which allows people to access your funds. If you're not able to make decisions for yourself, they can write checks and pay your bills, et cetera, if you're incapacitated. That's different. That has to go through a lawyer's office.
Correct. We did it with my mom.
Yeah. So this is different. It's the power of attorney for healthcare. And it's something that you would file. You would either, you know, keep a copy certainly with yourself, but file it with your doctor, you know, and they mm-hmm. can put it into your medical record and have access to it in crucial moments.
Yeah. I'm so glad you called, LaVon.
Can I just ask you one more quick question?
Sure.
My son is 18 and really hates going to a pediatrician. And I had asked her, I'm just curious what you would say. I said, when can my son leave the pediatrician and go like to a regular doctor? She goes, when he's old enough to buy a drink.
Huh. That's weird.
I remember.
Really? Are you kidding me?
I remember playing
like
with
the kids sitting in there, you know?
The toys in the lobby. Like, you know, the little, like the wooden blocks that go on the metal ring.
Yeah.
And I'm like 17. I looked at my mom like, should I? Is there, when does this stop? When do I stop getting stickers?
What is the real thing doing? What is the age?
Here's my question first. Is your son going off to college?
Yes.
So at college, I mean, you're going to get a new doctor. You know, we had a healthcare facility on campus, so that's where my new doctor was for the next few years. I mean, I know when he comes home, but Doc, I would say that it's time to go ahead and get an adult doctor at 18, especially.
That's what I think, too. I mean, he's, like, really embarrassed, you know?
Yeah.
He's like 6 feet tall. He's like, you know, I really hate coming here. I mean, for strep throat, it's fine, but,
right.
You know,
no, yeah,
like that.
I know. That's a... I mean, that's certainly a transition age, but if he's ready, if that's what he wants, absolutely. You know, most general internal medicine doctors, some start seeing patients as young as 16, but certainly by 18, they're an adult. They have adult physiology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some 16-year-olds have adult physiology, too, and adult problems. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 18 is plenty old enough to see an adult doctor.
I agree. Yeah. Okay. Let him follow his instincts there. Thank
awesome.
You.
He
Thank
shouldn't
you so
have
much.
To start to drink in order to see an adult doctor. I'm like, well,
wait a second here, you know? Don't put that in his head, you know?
Yeah, what happens to the adult doctor that I need a cocktail before I go? What is that even about?
I know. When you find me, I was like, oh, my God.
All right. Thanks, LaVon. Have a great night. You're listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Brandon C. Price, the mastermind behind Vamp, the music, comedy, and drinking show every Friday and Saturday night over by there at MCL.
Air.
And you can download the Vamp app, keep up to date on all the events they have coming up.
I did the research on the Vamp app download. You do get $20 when you download it. It's a free ticket.
Oh, so you don't get $20
so
cash.
Yeah,
you
I mean, get, if as long as you use the money to buy a ticket at Vamp, technically.
I don't think you understand how this sort of like language
I feel like
works.
I got a real good grasp on it.
I'm just saying. You don't get money. You get something that has a monetary value attached to it. So
agree
you
to disagree.
All right. Dr. Kathy Tynes, assistant professor of medicine at Northwestern and president-elect of the Illinois State Medical Society, has been hanging out with us as well. And there's a lot going on when it comes to, well, first of all, you know, the weather has changed. And I just have to ask if I'm the only person that is struggling with my body. I don't know if I'm just getting older or heavier or just when the weather changes. Like, I am very achy, Dr. Tynes.
You and me both.
Okay. So it's a thing.
It's a thing. And I find myself really struggling with fatigue around the change of seasons. And
okay, so I'm not imagining it.
No.
Like, I feel like, okay, I'm going to be very honest. I feel a little bit like I'm depressed.
Well, there is such a thing as seasonal affective disorder. It affects a lot of people. And, you know, losing exposure to sunlight is huge. Having your just even a 1 hour shift in your circadian rhythm can affect your energy levels.
I just want to stay in bed.
Yeah, me too.
I just want to stay in bed. I haven't worked out because and I know that it would make me feel better if I worked out, but I don't feel good enough to go work out, and I feel a little bit trapped.
I hear you, and I hear this, you know, very commonly with my patients, and you know, one thing that I tell them is, you know, you kind of have to force yourself.
Okay.
It'll get better. You know, set your clock ahead. I find, and I think most people are more successful if they do their workout right before or right after work. You know, once you get home, you have so many things to do at home and you face inertia and you just want to rest. And that should be your respite. You know, you should be able to go home and rest. So doing your workout on either end of your workday is important.
And I fell out of habit. I was working out 3 to 5 days a week at the CrossFit, and I just have not been able to get there. And I was like, I had myself on a schedule. And once that went away, I just have not been able to get back in the rhythm. Michael, we're doing stairs tomorrow. I know we have a couple of pre-records tomorrow. Can you come do the stairs with me?
Are we going to do it after our pre-records?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, right, I'm down. Right. Do I have to wear? What do I have to wear?
Whatever you want. Whatever you want to wear: shorts and gym shoes and t-shirt.
Shorts. It's 40 degrees outside, though.
What stairs do you think we're going to climb?
I don't know. Willis.
You've never climbed the stairs here? Have you never climbed the stairs with me?
I'm an advocate for the elevator.
Always have been.
Always have been, always will be.
Since Brandon, the dawn of the machine.
Have I ever made you do the stairs?
You have tried. One time we we were leaving the building after a show and we went down three and back up three.
Yes.
And I was really mad because I wanted to go outside and have a cigarette. And I was like, oh, cool, six flights of stairs.
See, I was saving you. I was saving you.
Well, yeah. I really opened up my lungs for that.
Well, we are starting our training for the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb, which is coming up in March. And we'll give you more details as we get closer to that. But that's how I really, that changed my whole life as far as working out. And I was honestly, for 3 years, I was pretty consistent. I'd started working out in 3 years ago in the fall before my first Fight for Air Climb. And I would say this is the first time in that entire 3 years that I've fallen behind. And it does contribute to feeling nasty.
Everybody falls off the wagon. You know, we're all human. So, you know, you give yourself a break and you pick a day and you pick an event or, you putting something on the horizon helps, right?
Yeah.
So if you know you're going to have to climb those stairs.
It's 180 floors.
Yeah. So that's a huge motivator to get to get a routine back together. But you know, take care of yourself. Get enough rest. Eat right. For some people, getting some extra sunlight with an artificial sun lamp can be helpful.
By the way, what's been cheering me up the last 2 days is making soup. Esmeralda, I know you're a big soup person. You make great soups.
I mean, come on. You can put it in a mug.
Yes. I made cream of a Brussels sprouts soup yesterday.
Oh, nice.
Brussels sprouts don't have any cream.
Now, did you put cream in it or did you just puree it and then?
I decided I needed cream in it, but not a lot. It was like a quarter cup of cream. It was very little, but I don't like Brussels sprouts. This is the only way I will ever eat Brussels sprouts for the rest of my life.
You know, you should. Did you roast them?
I roasted garlic.
You should roast the Brussels sprouts and then do it. Oh, my gosh. You get a nice nutty flavor to it.
Oh, I use nutmeg. Even though it's not necessarily the same sort of nuttiness. But I used nutmeg. I used a whole 14 cloves of roasted garlic.
Oh, that's nice.
And mashed that up in there. And that's...
There are no vampires in your house.
No, my husband has a really bad cold. So he didn't even know. But my son was halfway through and he's like, this is a little strong for me. but it has celery, onions, carrots. So it was something that was very hearty and it tasted really good. And then I made broccoli soup today, which was also very tasty.
Yeah.
It was really good. I will say this, the Brussels sprout soup tasted really good with grilled cheese sandwiches. That was so, you always think tomato soup, but the Brussels sprout soup. You don't like Brussels sprouts, do you?
No, I love them.
Do you really?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just thinking about grilled cheese. I moved on from soup pretty quick. I'm not a soup guy. It doesn't feel like a meal to me.
Well, that's why you have the grilled cheese sandwich. With the broccoli soup, we also had chicken sausage and some brown rice and some sauteed onions.
Hot. You have to be patient. With soup. It's dangerous.
No, you just spoon it in and then burn your mouth. And then...
Wow.
Right, and I can't.
Michael, are you a soup guy?
Oh, absolutely. I had soup today.
Did you really? What kind of soup did you have?
I had the hearty vegetable chunky soup, whatever they have from Campbell's.
Hearty vegetable chunky
soup. I need to bring you some homemade soup.
I'm a quick soup guy. I was a Boy Scout at one time in my life, and I'm just good to cook it over the fire and then slurp it on down.
Wow, whatever's in a can, just get it done.
He gets in trouble a lot in the city with the fire as can thing.
I often, the police are often called.
I was walking
that guy in the shorts on the stairs with that fire can.
I was walking down the street today by a library and I saw a can of chunky noodle soup opened.
It was
Michael. That yours, Michael?
There it is.
Oh, yeah, sorry about that. I was really hungry. I needed to get my fix.
It's so funny. Well,
that's what happens.
I felt like because I was having this sort of struggle with the weather changing and I'm like, I need something to buoy my mood. So that's when I started making soups. Because I do that. My thing is kind of food, I guess. I just realized that now. Because when the first snowfall, my task in our house, when we have the first flurries, I have to make my chili. And I thought I always thought everyone would tell me how much my family always tells me they like my chili. And I just figured they just want me to cook. And then I went to
whatever you're making.
Whatever it is. And then I went to a party that had and I didn't bring any chili. I just was not able to make chili that day. They were having a chili off. So there were eight different chilies. And I was like, my chili is so much better than
that. Oh, you should have brought it.
I know. And you've done that, as haven't you done those like soup, like aren't there people that have like just soup parties?
Yeah, we've me and my friends, we've done a chili cook off, we've done a soup off.
Yes.
We did a meatball off. And as I'm thinking about it, we need to do another one of something.
I want to
a stew off.
A stew off. Well, okay, so what is your, so what is the difference between a soup? Oh, I love borscht. Oh. Shut up. Stop.
Are you using a crock pot, by the way? Is this how you cook your soup? Okay.
It depends. No, the two soups I've made the last 2 days has just been in a stock pot on the stove.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, and it's, and like Esmeralda says, as soon as you puree it, and I'm going to do the roasted Brussels sprouts too, because those are really healthy.
Do you do squash? A squash soup?
I have not done a squash. I've never done a squash soup.
It's so easy, and it is so fabulous. So rich and delicious.
I'm going to do that next. Well, it's the right season for it too.
You just boil some squash with some onions, all right, in some chicken broth.
See?
And then you got your, did you have one of those hand pureers, hand blenders?
I do.
You don't even have to take anything out of the pot. You just, and then you throw in, I use sour cream personally. You can put in cream.
Ooh, see, this is what I was making. Yeah. That's a good idea. The sour cream is better than the half and half, I think.
I'm Polish. It's in my blood.
Well, it's got a little more of a tang to it than just cream.
Sour cream in anything and it tastes better.
Brandon is so out of this conversation.
No, I'm just thinking about grilled cheese.
More after this. Let us know, what's your soup go-to? More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, hanging out with Dr. Kathy Tynes. This is a professor of medicine at Northwestern and president-elect of the Illinois State Medical Society, Brandon C. Price. Were you elected as the mastermind behind VAMP?
Nope, music comedy? Just was there.
Just took that title as your own. Just saying. He's got shows every Friday and Saturday night with an incredibly talented cast. They change all the time because it depends on who's available. And he's got a live band on stage. Just really wonderfully, bring your own cocktails if you want to make drinks.
Best comedy in Chicago. Chicago Reader says it.
Do you still have celebrity bartenders, or was I so bad you decided not to do it again?
Yes and no. I would say we have not since had a celebrity bartender, but I would argue to say it was such a tough act to follow.
Oh yeah, No. I really like just bartending for you guys instead of having to go out there. I'm just saying. Just for future reference.
People want that second part. The part you didn't enjoy, they wanted it.
They wanted to see me struggle.
We got very
panic.
Good feedback.
Okay. Yeah. We have a texter who has a comment or question for Dr. Kathy Tynes. What do we got, Michael?
Yes, you do. Let me pull it up here real quick on the old text screen. All right. So from the 630, they had a question about their iron level. It seems to be below normal, and they wanted to know, what is the cause of anemia?
Well, a lot of things.
Yeah, there can be a lot.
I was anemic in my teenage years, so I had to get my blood drawn every week and had to take iron supplements.
And that's not fun.
No, it's not fun at all. And there are different causes for this. It could even be your blood type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, there can be a genetic cause. Some people, not iron deficiency, but they can be born anemic where their blood count is just genetically low. Sometimes that gets confused with iron deficiency. So, you know, making sure that you go through all the steps and check iron levels and ensure that that's not the cause. Either we worry about either not getting enough in or bleeding too much out. So for, you know, most people in the adult population, we worry, is there some hidden source of blood loss? So we ask about obvious sources of blood loss. Is there blood in the urine? Is there blood in your stool? For women, are they bleeding excessively during their menstrual cycle? And so we investigate those causes. One of the hidden sources that may not be obvious would be something from the GI tract. So people can ooze blood chronically from something that's in their colon, for instance, and that's the thing we worry about the most. And so we will often suggest a GI workup for people who have iron deficiency anemia and no obvious cause for that.
Okay.
If you stop eating animals, does that... Like, if you go vegan, I've heard, like, people get, you know, weak and low blood sugar and low iron. Is that something that can cause that as well?
Well, you do remember Popeye with the spinach and the iron.
A lot of vegetables have high iron.
Okay.
So the
kale and spinach and broccoli.
Yeah, the average American diet is going to be, you know, plenty rich in iron. But there are some people who can't absorb iron. And so that's another potential cause. So either, you know, you're not getting enough in or you're bleeding too much out. So you know, we look for, is there something going on with the lining of your intestine that's preventing you from absorbing iron? So things like celiac disease, you know, that's kind of a hidden one for a lot of people. And that can have a genetic basis. So we can test for that. Do you have Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis? Have you had such extensive surgery with your GI tract that you're no longer able to absorb iron? People who've had gastric bypass surgery, for instance, are not able to absorb
sufficient iron.
So, you know, sometimes those people just really just need to take excessive amounts of iron, or at least, above the normal amounts of iron in order to get enough into their system.
I used to take that Flora Floridix, you know, that liquid, I think it's German or European of some background.
It can be, and it's like iron juice. Iron can be really hard to tolerate the pill form, you know. So sometimes some people need to get iron through the IV, you know, that's
why cool. is it just disgusting?
It's really harsh on your GI tract.
Really, just to like take a huge pill of iron.
My pill was
even,
like,
it's
when
not
I was
even
in,
that big.
No, when I was in high school, it was that, remember that big brown one? That sort of, it was almost like that gelatinous cover to it. They took my blood so much. They just start strapping me into the chair because they took it every week. So I would start to I would start to black out. Yeah. I did not enjoy that.
And for some women in particular, it's menstrual losses. And especially if they have endometriosis or, you know, fibroids, or they just chronically have heavy periods for no other apparent reason. And that, you know, that just compounds month after month. You just keep losing more iron than you're able to take in. So that's where you have to take in some extra iron, whether you can take it by mouth or through the IV.
Well, my question for the texter, because they seem to know, so I wonder what their doctor ended up telling them. So you have to have a bigger conversation with your GP to get to the bottom of it. Let's take a break here. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is Brandon C. Price and Dr. Kathy Tynes, and we're having an off-air conversation about gender and how to address somebody. I was telling them that I stopped at a neighborhood dive bar just for a drink the other night, and I've been going there once a week, just I get a taste for a dirty martini. You know, I don't have vodka at home. And I'm like, I'm just going to stop for a drink before I get home. It's right, not too far from where I live. And a couple weeks ago, one of the guys at the bar, one of the regulars, asked if I wanted anything on the jukebox. And I said, like, I don't know, AC/DC or something, whatever. And then he recognized me last night. And he came over and was telling me how sexy my braids were. And that was weird. He's just, you know, I love how hot your braids are. I don't know how braids can be hot. It's just weird.
I was hoping he wasn't going to be a bad example of the AC/DC fan.
Such a strong nation. So I had my phone out and I was just doing some, I was just looking at some websites, but he must have thought that I was getting texts. He goes, oh, I know that face. You're not getting good comments from somebody. Someone's saying some bad things to you. And I go, no, actually, I'm doing some research on a family trip I want to take my boys on, because my younger son has special needs and I want to make sure he has a really good time and is really safe wherever we go. And like the look on his face, like I could not have said anything less hot at the
time. Well, work on your bar banter.
Yeah. I mean,
it was very rude.
I just like, I'm not going to play. It was like a very, like, I'm not. I mean, I wasn't even going to tell him to go away. I was like, no, this is really what I'm doing.
How do you like me now? To be fair, if he just sat down and gone, honestly, I was really interested in the braids, but wow, you're an advocate for special needs? You know what I mean? And then, like, you know?
Then I would be in trouble. I was just being honest. If he had, we would have had a conversation.
You made a new friend and an ally.
Exactly.
He missed out.
Well, and then he tried getting my number before I left anyway, right? He goes, maybe he's a cooler agent later. He's a travel agent. He held out his phone. He goes, hey, I don't want me to be too forward, but he wanted me to put my phone number on his thing. I'm like, I'll see you later. Just turned around and walked out. I was done.
Yeah. Is the day an age of being able to successfully, the bar used to be the place to go, right? There was almost like, especially later night, you know, understanding that a lot of the patronage at the bar was there for, mingling.
Yeah.
But is that kind of just dead now? Is talking to strangers?
Well, I think it's hard for me because I often go into a bar by myself, like, you know, after the show or wherever I am, if I'm traveling. I go to bars alone a lot, and I know I'm taking a chance, but I should be able to go and sit at a bar.
Well, you're a pretty social human that likes to just randomly talk to people sometimes without, you know.
I know, but unfortunately, I don't know. I draw the weirdest kind of attention. I walked into a bar one time, and this guy just like, oh, look at this, finally. You know, it was like,
And that's when I knew.
I yelled across the bar, and I'm by myself, and I'm already like, I was like, I'm committed to sitting down and just having a drink, and like no one's gonna do it, nothing, no one's gonna step in and like you know do anything for me. I just gotta go in and have that cold shoulder. That sort of like I'm not playing. I guess. Mm. I guess I put myself in that situation. I guess I'm asking for it, Brandon.
I don't think so. So the first time, well, okay, no one yelling across the bar, generally poor move. I mean, you know, read the room, but you know, so somebody comes up and says, you have very nice braids, ma'am or miss. And say, okay, cool. I'm not interested. I'm sitting here. I'm talking
people
to
my
son.
On
my
braids.
You know what I mean?
They comment on my braids. Dudes comment on my braids all the time. I don't know what that is.
But after one compliment that doesn't, let's say, cross any, you know, they don't say it really weird or with a creepy voice and they haven't come too close or whatever. And you get the braid compliment and you say, well, you know, I'm on my phone with my sons and my husband. And this is me clearly telling you that I.
And that guy went pushed right through. He pushed past that after a few minutes.
And that's the line, right?
Yeah, that's
right?
A line. Shouldn't it be the, like,
you know,
as a guy who loves braids, I just want to know.
like, does he think you're playing? Like, you're
like, I'm making that up.
I'm making it up, and this is a story, and you're trying to play hard to get. I don't understand where that comes from.
I mean, I think as
knight to rook three.
Yeah, I mean, it is weird. Like a woman just can't walk into a bar and sit down and have a drink,
and that's a shame. I mean, you know, we should be able to be alone and not be prey. And I understand people do meet in bars, and that's fine. We all meet in all kinds of social situations. But take a clue.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be a good thing that it's dead. When I ask, like, is that still a thing? I'm certainly not like, oh, I would just miss it. So, you know, like, you know, I'm just curious. Our culture kind of getting away from that and that, you know, because that is an unprotected interaction a lot of times.
Yeah, I agree. As a bartender, I mean, you had to see people at the Hungry Brain, like guys like taking their shots, taking their chances.
There was a couple times, but not, our bar wasn't really that type for like picking people up. It was more like first dates.
Oh, okay.
And,
oh, that's cool.
And couples would go in, but yeah, you would see them sometimes, you know, when they're
what if certain bars? I like literally, like, so that's not the type of bar, right? Like
yeah,
she says,
it's just,
I wonder if like I'm a bar owner. This is a bar where if you're sitting alone, you should expect that you're asking to be spoken to by other people. This is a mingling bar, if you will. Mm. Whereas
although
like
we
this
were
is
a mingling
bar, there is no mingling. You know what I mean? I wonder if that's a business opportunity.
I think as his bar, I think Hungry Brain was a mingling bar.
Yeah, like you could talk, but it wasn't like, you know, people aren't going to be like, hey, baby, like, ooh, like all weird
well,
and
that's not mingling.
Bro-y.
Yeah. Yeah.
But definitely people would, you know, interact if you were sitting at the bar. People would be chatting with each other.
Yeah.
If they were
it's
strangers.
Like a non-smoking section.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm sorry. I'm in the non-talk-to-me section.
I know.
The non-hitting.
Is that not okay?
Yeah.
I was trying to listen to Nick and Ez last night while I was at the bar. I had my earpiece in listening to the show. I was trying to have my martini, listen to the rest of the show, and then go home. But yeah, this guy wanted to come over and talk to me about my braids. And
When you throw alcohol into the mix, it impairs people's judgment. They think they're 10 times more brave
and interesting
and good looking and, you know, all
and
those
here's
things.
The thing, like, he was nice enough, right? But, like, just if he could just be jocular or just, you know, superficial, like, what music do you like or, what you know, can you believe whatever's on the TV screen or something like that? But once you start getting into my business, like, it's just weird, you know, if it was all like.
Well, there's no class, you know what I mean? Again, you know, absolutely. You should have read the room. Walk away, sir. But there's no, you know, there's no social class on. Like here's how to not be a jackass when talking to people.
Well, and you're right though. The booze doesn't help either.
Mm-mm.
You were saying yes.
And so many people are painfully shy when they're sober, and then they get some alcohol on them, and then they don't have boundaries anymore. So you know, that's not to say that that's okay, but that, unfortunately, it happens too often.
Yeah, I don't know if I might just not be able to go to bars by myself. I guess.
No.
Just learn etiquette again, you know?
No.
Maybe instead of balancing books on our heads for posture, we learn, like, how to speak to others.
I think I was even wearing a baseball hat that night. I'm sorry, what was that?
There was a fabulous thing that was, you know, viral on Facebook, and it was classes in Kenya on respect for women.
Okay.
And it was teaching boys how to respect women, and it was also teaching women about self-defense. And there was a really high rate of rape, and demonstrably that rate went down when boys were taught early on as school children to respect women, to treat them as equals. And I just thought, why don't we do that here? And there, you know, when we look at, you know, how women are taught to take care of themselves, it's all about self-defense. And why aren't we teaching the boys
to not make them have to be self-defensive?
Right. Yeah. Right. And
well, this
know,
is like, did you see this thing in Texas where they are going to have, they want, is this real? The women have to buy rape insurance?
Oh,
did you see
my,
this?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Just
no.
Every time a Southerner stands around in their A-frame shirt, you know, waving their rebel flag, I'm just like, please,
could
love
you
a
not?
God. This is making us look so bad.
Here's Texas. My question. Can I still go to bars by myself, Glenn? What do you think? Should I still go to bars by myself? Glenn?
You should be able to go to a bar by yourself, yeah.
Right?
You know, if you're not flirtatious, just sit there, drink your beer, but or beer or anything.
Right.
But what I was thinking is maybe if you knew this guy was regular, then I think maybe about 4 or 5 of you should go in there with wigs to have braids on them. and just all sit at the table at the same time.
Yeah.
And say, well, I'm not good enough for you. No. You should be able, it's not a double standard, let me see. But you normally, you see a woman walk into a bar by herself, fine, okay. Give him the credit of doubt. He's trying to, hit up on you. You should be able to be comfortable.
I won't be able to go back there. I won't be able to go back there because chances are he'll be there again. It's going to be the same conversation.
Have you thought about it too?
Yeah. I think he should. I think with a group of you guys. With braids.
There's nobody that's going to come hang out with me at 2:30 in the morning on the far northwest side of Chicago.
I say you take it one better and you bring the wig with the braids on.
Yeah.
Okay. And when he comes up to you and he hits you with that line, you throw that on his head.
That'd be better.
Here, you can have them.
Listen, you look really hot in those braids.
Yeah.
Just take it off your head and give it to me or take this home.
Yeah.
I've seen that face before. Someone got some bad news.
All right. Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate the advice.
You're welcome.
Have a great night.
You too.
Thank you. And the other thing that Brandon was talking about off the air was his struggle with being polite in conversation with men and women and using sir and ma'am. May I have this? Do you mind?
Please. It's a real culture clash, more so than I think people that haven't visited the South or people from there that have never come up here understand.
Yeah, I think I used to cringe when I would hear someone say ma'am before.
Oh, it's
but then I started spending a lot more time with people in the military and they say sir and ma'am to everybody. So it's sort of kind of gotten watered down for me. I don't mind.
It's there's no middle ground on it. It either feels disrespectful or extraordinarily disrespectful to not use it. Like, I mean, I've Pavlovian physical, like my granddad's hitting me in the back of the head with a switch if I don't say it. And I'm disrespecting you and I just met you and I'm trying to be nice. You know what I mean? And even if you tell me like, hey, that's not the way to respect, it's a trigger. I just do it automatically.
And I feel like this is, one of the symptoms of there's a certain divide in our country. And, another example is the Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays thing. Like,
be really, happy I'm being nice to you.
At the end of the day, your intentions are good.
Yes.
Yes. And so if the words that come out don't sound good to you, take into account the intentions that were made when they said them. And I think if we all treat each other that way, I think we'll get along a lot better. But to take offense and say, that's completely disrespectful, you meant it in the most kind and,
yes,
and
respectful
I
manner, right?
But you even said you don't like being called ma'am. Even
makes me feel old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not their intention. Like, that's not the other person's intention.
My 18-year-old sister is ma'am to me.
Well, that's a problem.
She's on this.
You should feel badly about calling her ma'am.
issues with growing older and being called ma'am and but have to face the fact that I look like a ma'am. That's my issue, but I shouldn't take it out on you.
But you don't look like a ma'am. In like, that's not like, aha, a ma'am. There's one. Identify her out loud verbally. like it's certainly, it's not a visual cue. I mean, I guess it is gender based. So then that way it's a visual cue. And that's another facet that can be problematic.
Well, and in the Spanish language, Esmeralda, it always bothered me that señor is señor, right? Every right. dude is just señor. But for women, there's señorita. Right, but mm-hmm. when you get married, señora, like yeah. it just sounds very angry.
But then it's also like, how do you know if I'm married or not?
Exactly. Well, and I think like the,
is the line married? It's not.
It's virginity. Is that what you're gonna ask me?
I thought it was whether or not you had a kid.
Oh, was it? I don't know.
I thought it was.
Everyone's got
a
different.
Child.
What's your understanding of it as?
I take it more for someone older.
Older.
So it's like a ma'am,
right.
rather than a miss,
right.
I thought it was if you'd had kids, but I thought that had some sort of religious tied to sex a little bit more than just the physical obviousness.
Well, there always is.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there's... Yeah, and
it has
then
to be one. Thank
for
you.
Moms, it's also, hello, mamacita. So there's that.
I think mamacita's different, isn't it?
Mamacita. That's all. That's the thing with language, is that but there is a gender...
I mean, I've always wondered about, like, from a very, ignorant perspective, that language is so gender-based.
I mean,
like... You know, there are just now, like, is a watermelon a girl or a guy? Well,
true,
it just kind of
right?
is. Well, the sun is a boy.
Right.
And the day is a girl, but he's
la mano, right? And, yeah.
Los manos.
Los manos, yeah.
What is else, or, there's like El Dia, El Dia. Mm-hmm. So that's an N's and an A. It's a lady day with a thee for a guy.
See, now you're confusing me.
That's why Spanish is so hard. That's all.
Let's go learn some Japanese. More after this on 720 WGN.